Well, this morning we're going to begin continue our series on God's iPhoto album of Jesus. And I said last week, just as many of us have photos of our children or our parents had photos of us, they recount memories. So also the Gospels give us various snapshots and portraits of Jesus. And we catch a glimpse of what Jesus is like and how Jesus is so real in our life. And today we're going to be turning to Matthew chapter 7, if you would like to make your way there, Matthew chapter 8 primarily. But just share a story about Fred Craddock. Fred Craddock was a preaching professor down in Texas, and he shares a story of a young pastor. And as a young pastor, there's all sorts of duties that you're not quite adept to, not quite certain about yet. And he had been called to the hospital to pray with a elderly woman who had been quite ill. When he walked into the room, she was on oxygen. She had tubes, IV tubes in her, and she wasn't doing very well at all. And he asked her if she would like for him to pray for her. And she says, "Pastor, I would like for you to pray for me." And he said, "Well, how would you like for me to pray?" And she says, "Well, pray that I would be healed." And so he sort of gulped and began to pray and said, "Lord, I pray that you would truly touch this dear sister of ours and that you would heal her in her body and restore her to service. But if it would not be your will, we pray that she would adjust to her circumstances. Amen." And as he said amen, all of a sudden she shot up in bed, threw her feet over the side of the bed, jumped out on the floor and says, "Praise the Lord, I am healed, I am healed, I am healed." And she ran towards the door and ran down the hallway of the hospital saying, "Praise the Lord, I am healed." Well, the pastor was standing there sort of stunned that she had been healed from his prayer. And he made his way out the door and she was gone. I mean, she was gone. And he made his way down to the parking lot, and as he was ready to open the door of his car, he looked up to the heavens and said, "Oh, Lord, please don't do that to me again." Well, you know, a lot of times in our life, you know, I don't care who we are, whether we're pastors or whether we're typical lay persons, we pray for God to touch us, for God to move in our lives, and we don't really expect God to do anything, right? And this morning we're talking about a leper who comes and that says very simply in faith, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Now, last week we looked at John the Baptist, and we saw how John came to be the messenger, the forerunner of Jesus, how he called out the disciples to follow the Lord, to repent of their sins. And Lent is a season of repentance, is a season of reflection, of getting our hearts right. He said that the Lord must increase, I must decrease. But there was a time in his life when he was in prison. He had been in prison for what he was preaching, and he sent his disciples down to Jesus and said, "Lord, are you really the Messiah? Are you really the Messiah? Are you the appointed one to come?" And Jesus says, "Go back and tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, and even the dead are being raised." And they went back and they shared with John. And of course, the miracles that we see in the scriptures are evidence that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the one who was to come. But there's more than that. When Jesus came to this world, when he planted his feet upon this earth, it tells me that my God in heaven cares for me, that my God in heaven knows my needs, he knows my situation, and he cares for me, and he wants to walk with me, just as we sing the songs, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." Now, this morning we are sharing, this is not working, Scott. This morning, a passage of scripture, and it says very simply, "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the scribes." I mean, there was something about the way Jesus communicated that really grabbed a hold of their hearts and that caused them to begin to really reflect upon and be challenged by what he was sharing. It says, "When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him, knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.' And Jesus stretched out his hand and he touched him, saying, 'I will be clean.' And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Now, if you look at this passage of scripture, you'll notice here that we're not told this man's name. We don't know that his name was John or Bill or George or Dennis or whoever it was. We don't know. We don't know anything about his career, what he was doing for an occupation before he contracted leprosy. We don't know too much about his family, but there are several things about this thing called leprosy that we'll talk about this morning. First of all, it was a skin disease. And I don't know whether you can see the picture of the man on the screen or not, but leprosy was a very hideous disease that was caused by a bacterium. And this bacteria would affect the body, primarily the nervous system. And it would cause the nerves to grow dead. That's the reason why you could maybe step on a hot coal or maybe puncture your hand with a nail or a piece of glass. And you would cut yourself, but you wouldn't know it. And then infection would set in, and that infection would begin to grow, and it would become very much a gangrenous type of a situation, maybe amputation. But again, it was a very, very hideous disease that had white patches. Your face, your cheekbones, your eyebrows, your skin, your hands would begin to develop these white patches. You would develop tumors on your face, tumors on your body. You could become blind. Your teeth would fall out. It was, again, a very hideous, disfiguring disease that individuals had to deal with. Today, we know it's called Hansen's disease. And it can be cured by, of course, treatment. But in those days, there was no treatment for it. And so you had leprosy. You had leprosy and you were consigned to living primarily socially as an outcast, as a pariah. Because lepers were not allowed into the city. They were not allowed contact with people. Now, can you imagine this? Babies who do not have contact with people do not know how to bond, and eventually they become sort of ostracized. They become outsiders. We need touch. I wonder how many people living in our area are behind closed doors longing for somebody to hug them or touch them and tell them that they care. You know, we talk about being socially outcast. Some people feel like nobody wants to hug them. Nobody wants to touch them. And in those days, you could not touch a leper. It was according to the Mosaic law, the Levitical law, you could not touch a leper. According to the rabbis, you had to stay. Well, lepers, downwind, upwind, could stay 6 feet from another individual. Downwind, they had to stay 150 feet. Because it was believed that if the wind blew across your body, you would contaminate the crowd. That's why you were ostracized from the community, from the family. You had to cry unclean, unclean, unclean everywhere that you went. Again, a very horrible disease. And we all know what it's like. If you see somebody who's been disfigured, we have a tendency to sort of turn away. You know, and the individual knows that you don't want to look at them because maybe they've been scarred in some way. But again, leprosy was a physical disease. Socially, you were a pariah, you were an outcast. And spiritually, you were considered unclean. And the reason why they were considered unclean was because if they were ostracized from the community, if they were ostracized from their church or from their family, you could not come into the presence of God. And so if you could not come into the temple of God, what happened, it meant to them that they were outcasts, that they were rejected by God. Can you imagine the feeling of feeling this rejection by God, that is somehow you are not acceptable to God? I mean, this is a horrible situation in your life. And so here's this leper. It says that he came to Jesus. I mean, he pressed through the city gate. He pressed through the crowd. He was to cry out, unclean, unclean. He was not to even be in the city. He presses through the crowd. He falls at the feet of Jesus. And he says to him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus doesn't rub him, you know, he doesn't turn away. Jesus is not brash and says, you're not supposed to be coming and touching me. He does not turn and walk away. Jesus, it says what? It says he reaches out his hand and he touched him. He touched him. And again, the Levitical law, Mosaic law says you are not to touch a leper. Why? Because if you touched a person who had leprosy, you too would become contaminated with this disease. And eventually you would become unclean, and you also would begin to experience all this disfigurement and this nerve damage and everything else. But Mark says Jesus had compassion upon him, and he reached out and he touched him. He touched him. It tells me that Jesus cares. You know, sometimes we need to be touched, right? We need to be hugged. And sadly today in our culture, we've gotten away from this because there's so many things out there that says, you know, you cannot touch a person. I go through seminars every 2 to 3 years And they say to me, as a pastor, you are not to hug anybody. You know, there are times in a person's life when I think they need to be hugged and affirmed and said, you know, we care for you because God cares for you. But we're not to touch people, we're not to hug people, because somehow in our culture today, it communicates the wrong idea, because we've just completely just blown everything out of proportion. But Jesus reaches out and he touches this individual and he says, I care for you. I care for you, even though you are a leper, even though you're an outcast. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. I don't care how stained you are. I don't care how tainted you are. I don't care how filthy you are. I don't care how ugly you might look or disfigured you might be. I don't care. All I want to know is that I am cleanliness, and I'm going to touch you because you're unclean, and you will become clean because of who I am. And what a wonderful thing happened when Jesus touches him. It says here that he says, be clean, and immediately the man was made clean. Wonderful, wonderful illustration that my God cares for me. Sometimes, again, we go about our lives and we wonder, you know, nobody calls, nobody shares, nobody talks, nobody does, nobody hugs. You know, I want you to know that God always cares for me. But there's something else about this, and I want to just fit this in real quickly here this morning. And it's this, and this is a shortened message this morning. So I'd encourage you to take your hand out, and I've encouraged you to maybe get together in a small group. Maybe you begin a group, or maybe you have someone. If you'd like to do that this morning, and you want to be a part of a small group, meet at the church in the front afterwards, and Jody will sort of help you get coordinated there in regards to a group. Or if you want to start your own group of one other person, two other persons, do that. Take that passage of that I'm put in the bulletin, use that. But I want you to notice this, because in the bulletin I have this. I say that you're not a number to God. Aren't you glad you're not a number? I mean, you talk to the government, you talk to the IRS, you talk to Social Security, and what are you? You're a number. I'm glad God knows my name. I'm glad he knows my name, and he also knows my number, okay? But he reaches out, and God knows me personally, but this thing called leprosy was not merely a disease. I want you to notice here, it was an uncleanness. It was not just a disease, it was an uncleanness. And here's what happens, and this just blows my mind when I go back and I think about this. That my God and Jesus Christ crossed the chasm of this universe. He left the heavens, came to this earth, and he dealt with my uncleanness and this thing that has destroyed my soul called sin. Because we talk about disease and being an outcast, but there's something deeper here. I find that oftentimes we will ask for prayers, and those prayers were, Lord, heal my body. But maybe we need to also pray, Lord, heal my soul. And during the time of Lent, our soul is sick. Our soul needs healing. Our soul needs to be cured. Our soul needs wellness. I want you to listen to this passage of Scripture here, and I want you to notice the dynamics of what is happening in this passage of Scripture, and hopefully it will grab you like it grabbed me. He says here, for this is Isaiah 53, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should despise or desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Did you grab a hold of that? Notice what it says. He was despised, rejected by men, but it says there was no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus Christ changed places with you and me. Notice the dynamics. Jesus reaches out. He says to this leper who was an outcast, who was not allowed into the city. He was not allowed into the city at all. Here he is. He says, I will be clean. And immediately Jesus traded places with him, because some months later, Jesus Christ would become so disfigured that humanity would not even want to look upon him. He would become so disfigured by the beating that he would receive, so disfigured by the whips and the nails and the little bones in those whips, that we would turn our faces from him because of the horror of what we were seeing. Jesus Christ went outside this city. He went outside the city and there he died on a cross at a garbage dump on a hill called Calvary in order for us to be able to come into the city, into the community, into the fellowship. He was rejected so that I could become accepted. Isn't that the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? This leper that day was made clean. He was made pure. He could now interact and intermingle with all the community. He could walk around without saying he was unclean. He was now clean in his own heart, in his own soul, in his own body. His skin was like the skin of a baby. But Jesus Christ, months later, would become sin for him, sin for you, sin for me. And Jesus never knew any sin, but he would become the ugliness, the sin of us, so that we might be made righteous and clean in the sight of God. He became disfigured, and he carried the spots and the blemish of a leper in order that I might stand before God with the newborn skin of a baby girl or boy. Isn't that great news? He went outside the walls and died so that I could come inside the kingdom, inside the city, and be accepted. And we sing a song that sometimes says, you know, the words are that he was rejected so that I am accepted. That's good news. This morning, that's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He heals my uncleanness. He forgives my sin. He makes me new. He enables me to stand before him clean and pure and spotless. Now, there's two things I want you to think about this morning and think about this week. One is, maybe you're going through some pain in your life and you feel as if somehow you're outside the city and you just need somebody to touch you and to hug you, you know, in an appropriate way and to say, I love you in the name of Jesus Christ. And that firm affirmation of that hug, you know, Jesus is God's hug to you and me. But sometimes to have Jesus hug us, we need to have someone here just reach out and grab a hold of him and say, I care for you, I love you, God loves you. And I want you to know that God has accepted you. Maybe you might need somebody to hug you this morning. You know, I'll be willing to hug you if you don't turn around and, you know, tell somebody I've done something wrong. But you know, God loves you. Amen? He loves you. And he wants to give you a hug. He wants to give you a divine affirmation this morning. But more than that, I want you to understand that you have been accepted because he was rejected. That he went outside the city wall and became a leper so that I become clean. He was cleanliness. He came and intermingled with my uncleanliness. But in the midst of all that, he made me clean and pure in the sight of God. And that's what becoming a child of God is all about. A new creature. A new creation. Having the spiritual skin as sweet and as pure as the skin of a baby. And knowing what it means to stand before God with sin forgiven, totally accepted in his sight, and knowing that I'm a child of God. That just blows my mind to think about that. He reached out, he touched and said, I will be clean. He will forgive you of every sin, every wrong, every failure, everything that you've ever done wrong. Don't blame yourself. Don't forget. No, don't walk away saying, I can't be forgiven. God in Christ forgives you. And that's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Precious Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we adore you this morning. Thank you that in Jesus Christ you've reached out and you've touched us, you've hugged us. And Lord, that you've made us accepted in the Beloved. That Lord Jesus, you have come to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And you've made us whole and pure and spotless in the sight of God. Father, I pray this morning if someone needs a hug, if someone needs a prayer for healing, if somebody needs a prayer for forgiveness, I pray God, that they would make their way to the altar or to someone afterwards and say, you know, would you pray for me? Would you hug me? Would you just help me to pray and to seek God's face? Help me to thank him, praise him for what he's done for me. But Lord, work in the hearts and minds of each and every one of us and to give thanks for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.